Whilst most of the time we think of our website generating us leads and sales, actually, our website is a collection of individual pages that should each be working really hard to get ranked, get traffic, and bring in conversions. Most websites only have a few pages that work hard. The rest of their pages, honestly, are just a sort of lazy tag-along bunch of slugs, not worth their server space, crushing your dreams pixel by pixel. In digital marketing speak, we might say that they are under-optimized. Well, today we're going to sort that, and we're going to talk about how to optimize each page of your website to make it work as hard as we possibly can. I'm going to talk you through some examples for different businesses in different spaces, and we're going to get this fixed. Let's go.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast. My name's Tim Cameron Kitchen. I am the founder of Exposure Ninja. We're a digital marketing agency, help our clients generate more leads and sales through their websites. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. Now, today we're going to be talking about how to optimize every page of your website. We're going to talk through some of the different types of pages that are common on most websites and cover some of the key principles that you can apply, whatever business you're in, whatever size you're at, that can improve the performance of those. Now, throughout today, I'm going to be talking through some examples. And if you want to see these examples, I'm going to do my best to explain them to you. But if you actually want to see them with your eyes or your infrared sensors or, you know, whatever sort of visual sensors you may have on your body, then you can go to, this got a bit weird very early on, then you can go to our YouTube channel over at Exposure Ninja and you'll be able to see this. So if you just go onto YouTube and search Exposure Ninja, optimize every page or something like that, you'll find the video and you can see all the examples there. So we're going to start with talking about what we call key pages. Now, the key page pages are the most important pages on your site. They're the ones that tend to get the most focus. So let's start with your homepage, and we're going to go through product, service, and product category pages, and also blog pages, which can sometimes be key pages, sometimes not, depending on how much traffic is coming through them, of course. Then we're going to talk about some of the forgotten pages, and throughout we're going to be covering some of the key principles that you want to apply on every single page of your website, no matter what type of page it is. We're going to be focusing on the stuff that goes on the page today. If you want us to talk about like offsite promotion strategies, of course, that's what we do every day, but just let us know in the comments on our YouTube video if you want us to cover any particular topic or go into anything in more detail. All right, let's start with your homepage. Now, for most businesses, the homepage is the page that has like 90% of the focus. When you get a new website built, 90% of the time will be focused on the homepage. People just want to look at the homepage all the time, and they assume that everyone is coming through to their site via the homepage. This isn't always the case, but it is incredibly important that your homepage obviously does a fantastic job of selling you. Now, whether you're a product business or a service business, your homepage needs to do some fundamental things. It needs to introduce who you are and what you do, obviously. You know, this is pretty straightforward information. It also needs to build credibility. And you can do this in a number of ways. I'm going to talk through some examples in just a second. But one of the main jobs of the homepage really is to funnel visitors through to the right subsections on your website. So if you're a service company, for example, you're selling services or you're selling software, you might want to direct people through to the right service for them. Or if your audience is made up of different segments, you might want those segments to self-identify so that you can funnel them through to sections on your website that are designed specifically for that audience segment. What we really want to do is get people into information that is super relevant for them as quickly as possible, because your homepage is a bit of a catch-all, and the danger is that if you go too specific on your homepage, you know, let's say you're an e-commerce business and you focus on particular products on your homepage, if none of those resonate with your audience, then your homepage can actually perform really poorly. So really the goal of the homepage is get people through to the information that's right for them as quickly as we possibly can. Now, I'm looking at an example for Veriforce Chaz, which is a very long-term client of Exposure Ninja. And we just helped them refresh their website recently. And what we do above the fold on this site, and by the way, Chas is they're a company that offer compliance services for people in construction, and as well as some other industries too. But what we do above the fold is we set the scene, we explain exactly what Chas is, and we offer there's a CTA to talk to an expert now. We want to funnel people that are ready to take an action through to an action-taking step so that they can do that if they're ready. If they're not, that's absolutely okay. We're going to cover other stuff on the page. We're going to continue working on them until they are ready. But if they're ready straight away, we don't want to put barriers in the way or make them hunt around for a CTA. We want to give them something straight up. We've got some credibility just peeking out above the fold here. So we've got some logos of different brands that are using them, and that's a really important tool. Use of credibility is massively important on your homepage, but really it should be across every single page of your site. So some key ways to do this that we'll cover today, things like use of logos. If you're selling B2B, it might be use of the logos of publications that you've been seen in. You see a lot of this in direct consumer e-commerce, where they'll cover the different publications that they've been reviewed or featured in. We also want to use things like review stars. If you've got reviews on popular third-party review sites, you can use testimonials, you can use video testimonials. And these are devices that are really effective to use across your website, not just on your homepage, and definitely not just on your case studies or reviews page. We want to make sure that these credibility triggers, as I call them, are dotted throughout your site. They trigger that credibility in your audience, and you can put them on every page, because you want people to be able to convert and take a next step on every page of your site. And if you're asking someone to trust you, it's a good idea to include some information that justifies that trust right where you're asking them for that trust. We got some information further down the CHAS page about the different products that they offer. We've got Why Join CHAS, which is basically targeted at new customers. And we've got their different packages that people can read more about. They can see pricing. We've got some information about some of the accreditation types that they cater to. And then we've got a section further down which segments CHAS's audience. Now, you've got to think about the type of visitors that you're getting to your page. Are they all coming through and they're one particular type of person and they're not familiar with your business? Or are they all one type of person and they are familiar with your business? That's going to define how much setting the scene you need to do. Of course, if there are multiple types, as we've talked about, if you've got lots of different consumer segments, then you're going to need to signpost those really clearly on your site, and preferably early on, so that people can get straight through to the information that's relevant for them. I'm going to talk you through another example that does a great job of that in just a second. Now, when we talk about e-commerce, we've got to think about the same sort of overall principles, but these are going to be implemented in a slightly different way. So I'm on the website for The Ordinary, which is a cosmetics brand, and I don't know how Ordinary officially describes what they do, but how I would describe what they do is they use a very sort of accessible expertise positioning. So they're talking about the active ingredients that are included in their products. They use quite scientific looking packaging, and they're all about the effects that the products have, rather than more sort of ambient, sort of like celebrity endorsement type, you know, this is a luxurious thing. They're more talking about, you know, this is going to do this, and it's got this percent of this, and it's got this vitamin in. They're sort of it's quite a logical purchase, I think. So when you land on their e-commerce homepage, you get a video above the fold, which sort of there's nothing specific about it. It's bubbles and, you know, pictures of the product moving through water and all that type of stuff. So it sort of sets the scene. It sort of reinforces their branding. But as benefits, I'm not sure that it's like super high focused on benefits or selling the products necessarily. Now, above the fold, we have them focusing on one particular product, reformulated hyaluronic acid, right? Whether or not that means anything to you, the point is, this is a fairly risky approach to take for an e-commerce business, where you focus exclusively above the fold on one particular product. Because if that product isn't right for someone, then everyone who it's not right for has just been disqualified by all the information above the fold. So worst case scenario, they don't think that this product is right for them, or it doesn't represent what they're looking for from the site. And actually, you might lose them before they've even dug through any further. So this is quite a risky approach to take. I would probably opt for something that's a bit more inclusive above the fold. Now, they also have a secondary CTA on their site, which is you can build your own skincare regimen. And the point of this really is that you fill in some information about what type of skin you have and any problems that you've got, and you build a regimen out of the different products that they sell. This is genius, I think, because what this does is take someone out of, oh, I just need a moisturizer, to actually, oh, I need to buy all these different types of things, and all of a sudden my average customer value has gone up from one product to like five or six products, and I'm hooked because I can't directly replace any one of those products with any other branded product, right? I've now got The Ordinary providing my entire regimen, and I don't know how replaceable each item is with other brands, which is, I think, a fantastic way of picking up as much of that market share as they can. So I'd be tempted to start with that. Focus on that above the fold. Now, as we scroll down, we see that they're selling certain bundles. These are like their key products that they want to sell. Again, I think quite risky. I'd be tempted to put people through to different product categories. You see, that's a very common approach with e-commerce, is that you actually want people to go to the right product category for them. And again, the goal is just to get people through to the products that are relevant for them as quickly as possible. We've then got a bit more information about this product that they're really focusing on. And then only a few scrolls down further than that, we have a beginner's guide to The Ordinary. If you're generating all new customers, you would obviously put this much further up, because you'd want to introduce people to the brand and introduce people to the principles really early on. If you're getting all repeat customers, then you might not need this section at all. The fact that The Ordinary has put this so far down on their site makes me think that they're probably just selling repeat customers and they're not really focusing too much on picking up new customers. Otherwise, I'd be inclined to make this one of the key features of their homepage. Now, before we move on, I'm also going to talk through an example of a software homepage, which I think does a fantastic job. And I'd really encourage you to go and have a look at this, because actually, I just want you to see how they use all of these principles in one place. And it's the Intuit QuickBooks website. So I'm on quickbooks.intuit.com/UK. QuickBooks is an online accounting software. They're very straightforward about the fact that they are online accounting software. But I think they use some really great credibility everywhere on this site. They've got they've got reviews above the fold. They've got use of celebrity endorsement. They've got testimonials. They're talking about the fact they've got 6.5 million subscribers worldwide. They've got testimonials with faces. They've got video testimonials. Like, this thing is brilliant from a credibility perspective. They're also using a limited time offer to push you towards purchase, to add a bit of urgency, where there might not otherwise be. My favorite thing about the QuickBooks website is how they segment their audience. So they've got basically three audiences: accountants. So accountants who would buy the software and then they might recommend the software to their clients. You've got sole traders, so very small businesses, and limited companies, which could be any sort of size. Now, they segment this audience very quickly on the homepage. They basically just build credibility, pick off the people that are ready to buy now, and then go straight into segmenting their audience with buckets that says, are you an accountant? Are you a sole trader? Are you a limited company? And when you click on these, you get a sort of an introduction to QuickBooks from an accounting perspective, from an accountant's perspective. Okay, this is so vital, because if you think about how different these types of customers are, the danger is that they show all of the information for all of these different types of customers on the homepage. And then let's say I'm an accountant. Well, the stuff for small companies and the stuff for sole traders is completely irrelevant to me. So 2/3 of the information on that page isn't targeted at me. Whereas if they can get me onto the accountant section really quickly, everything I'm now seeing is perfectly targeted to me. So I think that's a great example of a very targeted homepage. All right, let's now talk about service pages. So service pages are obviously for businesses that sell a service. We're going to talk about product pages for e-commerce businesses in just a second. But actually, a lot of the principles apply to both types. So whether you're e-commerce, service, software, actually, the principles are what we're really focused on here. Now, I'm looking at a website for a hearing and audiology clinic client. We built this website a long time ago now, I think maybe 4 years ago. So it's looking a little bit dated, but actually this page performs super, super well. So if you type in regain hearing test on Google, you should find this page and you can see what it looks like, or you can just go straight to the Exposure Ninja video on YouTube and have a look at it. Now, when we're selling hearing tests, what we need to do is establish that that's exactly what we offer. We need to establish that we're in the right location for the potential customers. We need to pick off any customers that are just ready to book now. They just want to fill in a form. And then we want to handle potential objections that people might have and give them more information about this if they're on the fence of booking a hearing test. And that's exactly what this page is designed to do. Now, we notice that a lot of the pages that are ranking for these terms are really, really long and really detailed, which gives us an indication that that's what potential customers want. So we made this page really long, really detailed. We handle all of the potential customers' objections. We've got things like video testimonials. We've got review stars. We've got all of the FAQs that you could possibly want. We've got information, free versus paid hearing test. We've got exactly what happens in your hearing test, all of the things that might happen. And of course, there's loads of images in here as well to make it look attractive. Because if you've got a long page and it's just text, then that can be very boring. But we've also got calls to action echoed through this page. Whilst someone might not be ready to book their hearing test right at the top of the page, actually by the time they've scrolled four or five scrolls down, they may be ready to book. So we echo that CTA throughout the page. And by the way, speaking of CTAs, if you want us to review your website, if you're thinking, I'm not sure that every page on my site is well optimized, you can request a free website and marketing review from the team here at Exposure Ninja. All you need to do is go to exposureninja.com/review. There's a short questionnaire to fill out. Now, if you apply for this review, not everyone gets it, by the way, not everyone is eligible for this review. If you don't get it, don't worry, we're going to send you some awesome stuff anyway that will be perfect for the stage that you're at. But if you do, if you are eligible for this free review, we'll record the video, we'll usually send it to you in 3 to 5 working days. It's completely custom to your business and it's completely free of charge. So go to exposureninja.com/review to request your free website and marketing review today. Okay, let's talk about product pages. So product pages are the e-commerce equivalent of service pages. Like, this is really where the rubber meets the road. The product page is where we introduce the product, we build credibility, we handle objections, and importantly, we get the conversions. We get someone to either add it to the cart or just purchase straight away. Now, I'm going to go back to the Ordinary's website, because although I was a little bit critical of their homepage, I think their product pages are pretty good. Pretty good. Not perfect, but they're pretty good. Now, I'm on the product page for this product that they're so keen to promote on their homepage. Fairly standard product page layout. We got some images on the left. I'm looking at this on desktop, of course. Images on the left, and then information about the product on the right. Usually, we want the buy button above the fold on desktop, and on mobile, we want it usually within a couple of page scrolls, at least. We don't want to have force people to hunt for the add to cart button. We need to make it very, very visible. So the Ordinary's got a bunch of information that's sort of pushing this button below the fold on desktop, but they've tried to keep this information as sort of concise as possible. We've got stuff about, you know, what it targets, dryness, signs of aging, suited to all skin types, the format that it's in, key ingredients, this type of stuff. So basic product information. We've also got some credibility and some objection handling. So free shipping on orders over £25. They've got that above the fold. Just slightly under the buy button, because they want to increase the number of times, the number of products that you order. Because if you're buying one for 15, you might just click, oh, I'm going to add two, because that's going to take me over my order. So they've given you that information exactly when you need it. And they've also got an objection handling piece here, which is 365-day returns, which is obviously a very generous return policy. So they're doing that to increase the conversion rate of that add to cart button right at the time they need it. Now, the goal of the below the fold section on desktop on a e-commerce product page is to give a potential customer all of the possible information that they could need. Above the fold, if they know what it is, we just want them to buy. Below the fold is, let's give them some more information, let's handle all of their objections. Because like for any website, if people still have objections, they're not gonna get in contact to ask you, oh, you know, does this work for this, this, and this? They're just gonna not buy. Right? Or probably more accurately, for every one person who gets in touch with your live chat and says, oh, does this work for this, this, and this? There's going to be like 40 who don't even bother. They just continue their search. Okay. So we want to answer those objections on the site to save your customer service team time and, of course, to increase your conversion rate. So that's what The Ordinary does. They have information, they've got fairly detailed information, and they're using their tone of voice. So they're telling you about the active ingredients. It's quite sciencey, but it's still in an accessible way. So it's not intimidating. It just makes you feel like you understand it. It makes you feel clever. It makes you feel like you're getting an active product rather than something that's a bit sort of smoke and mirrors. And I think that's a fantastic positioning in this industry. One of my favorite parts of their product pages, though, is actually how they start to upsell related products. They've got this section, how to build a skin regimen, which is essentially, hey, here's some other things that you might want to buy. So they've categorized their products into different steps. and they're encouraging you to add other related products to the car, which I think is really smart. Again, we've talked about how this regimen builder is really key and it's such an amazing marketing asset for them. And I think how they use that on their product pages is great. Then, of course, we've got the reviews section. You need reviews on your product pages. And they've opted to show critical and favorable reviews. So they're being fairly transparent. They've got people saying, you know, one star, this doesn't really work, or it left like a glue finish on my face, you know, things like that. So they are fairly critical, and I think that adds credibility. So I really like that approach. Now, another type of page that you get only on e-commerce sites is the product category page. And the product category page, I mean, you do get this on service companies if they have a lot of services that they want to categorize. But the product category page is quite a key page because this is actually where you, it's almost like halfway between a homepage and a product page in that you're still filtering people down to the right products for them. One of my favorite examples here, I'm not going to talk through because it's a little bit weird to listen to me talking about this on a podcast, but if you go on the Love Honey site, so Love Honey is like a sex toys website. I'm sure they tell you they're like sexual wellness or something like that, but they sell sex toys, so they're a sex toys website. If you go to lovehoney.co.uk/sex-toys, it's one of the most amazing product category pages that I've seen. Now, not for the reason that you might be thinking, but actually because it does a fantastic job of catering to different types of purchaser. Now, this business has a decent percentage of their traffic coming from people that are new to this type of product. So what they've got to do is they've got to introduce them to this and they've got to answer objections. It's also got people who are exploring, so have maybe made a purchase before and are thinking of making more purchases. And then it's got experienced purchasers. So if you think about what their product category pages have to do, they actually have to cater to these three different audiences. Now, one mistake that a lot of e-commerce stores make is they put all of their products in a particular category straight on a category page, even if it's a really massive category. And that can mean that customers are forced to hunt through, you know, dozens or even hundreds of products to find the one that's right for them. Love Honey hasn't done this. They've subcategorized their products. They add images so that you can see exactly what each subcategory is. And then they include FAQs, they include a discovery section, they include other types of categories such as offers, new in, and you can look through all if you want to. Then they've got some individual products called hottest deals for you, and these are ones that are like on offer or whatever, and they're a broad range of different types. Then you can build your own bundle, and then there's some information guiding you through the process and deep linking to other products as well. And this page isn't perfect. For example, there's a video on YouTube which you actually can't watch. It's been embedded in the page, but you can't watch it because it's age restricted. So you still need to sign in on YouTube, which is super weird to have this on a live product category page. And then they've got some buyer's guides underneath this as well. So I think this is a great example of a product category page that is really there to help people find the right thing for them, which is basically what you want your product category page to do. Okay, let's move on to talk about some of the key content pages on the site, namely your blog pages. Now, whether or not you call blog pages key pages probably depends on how much traffic you're generating from them. One of our clients that we've been working with for a while now, and we love very dearly, and you've heard us mention before, is Ron over at Golf Course Lawn. And Golf Course Lawn and Ron sell lawn supplements, things like weed killers and grass seeds, to help you have an amazing lawn. And when I say to help you have an amazing lawn, the clue is in the name, Golf Course Lawn. You should see some of the lawns that Ron and his crew have been responsible for. They are exceptional. We're talking like the green at Wentworth or something, right? These are beautiful, beautiful lawns. Anyway, a large portion of the traffic on this website comes through the blog because one of our strategies has been to target people who are asking questions and trying to work out, you know, how to kill weeds in flower and mulch beds, which is the blog post I'm looking at right now. Our approach here is basically to write blog posts that are super detailed, super useful to potential customers. But if you think about where these potential customers are at when they land on the page, some of them, yes, they know that they want to buy products, but a lot of them, actually, they're just looking for information. So they're right at the top of their buyer journey, if you like. They're right at the start. So what we do on these blog posts is we introduce the concepts, we give them some information, and then as we start to move them down this blog post and we've given them more information, we've educated them, we start to include deep links on the site through to particular products that we're recommending. Over time, we include more and more links to different products because the person has now read through potentially a decent amount of content. You get people spending 10 minutes on some of these pages, sometimes even longer. So if they've spent that long, they've then become educated in this topic and they're ready to go through to a product page where they can make a purchase of the thing that they're reading about. And then further down the page, we actually have a section which is all about the recommended weed control products. And then we go straight into pitching these products. And Ron's even got a fantastic video which talks about the different types of products that you can include. So this type of approach can be really smart for blogs, because if you're bringing in a lot of traffic which has absolutely no commercial intent at the start, you can probably move some of that towards commercial intent later on and make a real difference to your sales. It's certainly more beneficial than just giving people the information that they need and then waving them goodbye. Another thing that we do on this page and these types of blogs, which you can implement, is you can now have, you link through to other related blog posts. So if we're not talking about a topic that's exactly right for them, we move it through, we give them something else that they can read about instead. So, let's say that you're not ready to make a purchase now, or actually the topic that you've come through on isn't quite right for you. Well, here's something else instead. And it sort of increases the amount of interactions that you've had with that customer. The more time you can keep them on the site, loading and looking through different pages, increase the familiarity and the chance of purchase later on. Okay, let's now talk about some of the forgotten pages on your site. So everyone thinks about product pages, they think about category pages and service pages, and of course the homepage. But what about some of the other pages on your site? Let's talk first about thank you pages. Thank you pages are one of the least focused on pages on any website, because it's almost like someone's already converted, so who cares what happens now, right? you've done the hard work, right? See you later. You've bought your products, right? Great, you just wait for it now. Or you've inquired about our service, right? Cool, we'll be in touch. But that's really a waste of what these thank you pages can do. If we think about a service business, for example, let's say that you've just generated a lead. The job isn't over. You need to then convert that lead. Your sales team needs to reach out, or you need to have an appointment with them or whatever. And the information that you include on your thank you page can increase the chances of them showing up to an appointment or responding positively to your team when you reach out to them. So what you can do on your thank you page is include testimonials and credibility, and here's exactly what's going to happen now, here's what we're going to send you, and here's who to look out for, and here's the email address that you need to add to your approved senders list so it doesn't end up in spam. But all of these things can increase the chances of a conversion further down the line. Likewise, with a product company, an e-commerce business, for example, you might want to think immediately about how to reduce your refund rate and your return rate. So you might be educating people about the products that they've just bought, or you might be giving them information about how long they have to wait, or where the product is going to show up from, or which couriers you're using, or whatever. And all of this, you're trying to, of course, reduce the amount of customer service work that your team has to do between purchase and receipt of the product. But you can also start to maybe reduce some of the return rate that you might get, particularly if you're selling something that's new to people. My wife recently bought some sort of customized goggles, right? And the process was fairly straightforward, but actually she could have done with a lot more information about how those work, so that when they arrived, she knew exactly what she was looking for, because it was a bit like, okay, I'm not really sure how this thing is working. I think there was an opportunity there for them to do some follow-up during the sales process. Okay, let's talk about the About Us page. Now, the About Us page is, for many businesses, this is the one time where their web development firm will let them be completely self-indulgent on their website. So they end up talking about their whole history of, you know, Uncle Albert started this business in 1905 and today we've expanded and here are our values and all this type of stuff. And yeah, sometimes people care about that stuff, but most of the time when they're going to the About Us page, what they're trying to work out is, am I going to resonate with this business? Am I going to resonate with the people behind it? Like, do the values align? Is there a match there? Now, and the other thing that we, of course, need to think about on the About Us page is that just because it's an About Us page doesn't mean that it's not conversion focused, doesn't mean that it's not customer focused, okay? So on the About Us page, yes, of course, you need all the information about your business, but it's a good idea also to have some people, so that people can feel actually, so potential customers can feel like, actually, you know what, there are actually some people behind this. And then, of course, calls to action throughout. One of my favorite About Us pages is actually on the Salesforce website, which I can't believe I'm saying this, because Salesforce has had some pretty whack websites over the years, but their current website is pretty good, and the About Us page I think is fantastic. Above the fold, they've got a video which really does show sort of a lot of the personality behind the brand. It shows some of the, you know, the charitable work that they're doing. It shows some of their events. There's loads and loads of people, loads of diverse characters in here as well, and it really does give you a sense that this is an exciting, fun business that is quite principled and driven. The copy is all very much along those lines as well. We've got loads of pictures of people throughout, but we've also got CTAs. This thing is stacked with calls to action and information, like links, though, that people can go and find out information. So for example, if you want to click on, they've got testimonials from some of their clients and you can click to read the story. They've got information about particular products and services that they sell. You can click to read more about those. They've got information about their values and their mission. You can click to see that. You can find out more about their culture. You know, there's loads of additional information here, and you can almost choose your own journey. Whatever your goal was when you landed on this About Us page, you can go and get more of that. So I really like that. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but that's Salesforce. They've got loads of budget to do this stuff. We're a much smaller company than that. Or, you know, we don't have an engaged leadership team in our marketing. Well, I'm on the website here of a fairly small plumbing company, right? Bramshaw Heating and Plumbing.co.uk. It's just a random plumbing company that I found online. And actually, I think it's probably one of the best About Us pages that I've seen for a local business. And there's nothing fancy here. There's no fancy design. This website's not going to win any design awards. But one thing it does do well, it's got CTAs. It does a great job of building credibility with the business. It's showing the people. It's showing them all smiling. Yeah, some of them are in dirty jumpers. They've got dirty gear. They're covered in oil or whatever. But hey, you're a plumbing company. That's kind of what people expect. If your plumber turns up in a suit, you're immediately thinking, uh-oh, something bad's about to happen here, or what have I done wrong? Whereas, you know, these people are exactly what you'd expect from a plumbing company. They've got testimonials here. They've got CTAs. Unsure what you're looking for? Give us a call. They've got a catch-all CTA at the bottom of the page. Don't delay. Get a free quote today. In a rush, send us an email. They've got domestic line, commercial lines. They're segmenting their customers again. So that's a really good example. And again, you can go into the video and have a look at this if you want to see it live. So there you have it. Ways to improve the performance of every different type of page on your website. Before we go, I just wanted to say one thing about doing this type of thing. It can sometimes be the case that over time, your website becomes a bit hodgepodge because, oh, you know, we need to add this, and oh, we need to add that, and then you add a new product or you add a new service, and then someone says we need to add this, and then someone says, oh, you know, we've just been acquired by this and we need to change our logo. And over time, the whole thing becomes a bit messy. I think it's a really good idea to go through an exercise like this where you just review your website, maybe take a couple of weeks off from having a look at it, and then go and review it with as cold eyes as you possibly can. Review each of these different types of pages. Maybe now is the nudge that you needed to go and do this, and just review it from first principles. Like, what on this page makes sense? What on this page doesn't make sense? Because as over time, you know, websites are lasting a little bit longer than they used to. Now we're often seeing websites lasting for 3, 4, even 5 years. And over that period, yes, of course, they can start to look dated, but also they can start to get a bit broken and get a bit full of rubbish. And sometimes it's good idea just have a bit of a clear out. In fact, this is one of the most useful aspects of having a website redesign, is that it just gives us a chance to look at everything from first principles. What do we need on this page? Who are the audience segments that we're targeting? What are the key pieces of information and the key messages that we need to communicate? Where are the credibility triggers laid out? And just start from afresh. So even if you just worked on your website, it's a good idea to review this stuff over time. Hope you found this episode useful. If you have, don't forget to leave us a review, and I'll see you next week.